mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 424. I'm Adam and... and here's Debbie Melrose.
Oh, rabbits.
Oh, that was for last week, Debbie. And Mary Lang.
I'm the Doctor. Or I will be if this regeneration works out.
Well, that's the classic one from that episode, which I forgot. Yes, this week we're looking at Castrovalva, into my favourite Doctor era. I mean, into the fifth Doctor era. And we should be able to get through this episode fairly swiftly, as Mr. Bartlett Sloan is skiving off. Which, of course, Mrs. Melrose has been doing for several weeks. But if anybody's watching on the live feed, the USS Enterprise is now flying past the camera. My favourite new toy. Oh, I'm going backwards. Hang on. Which I might try and do that while in Kirk's... yeah. Anyway, so it's very cool. It's, look, it's a little mini Enterprise. Isn't it good?
Yay.
Well, I think... Oh, shut up, you lot. I think it's great. I'm really pleased. It only costs about £7. Can't get much better than that. A little mini... Very highly detailed little mini Enterprise, I hasten to say.
Yeah,
for seven
very
quid.
Detailed. Yeah.
Let's crack on. Oh, I suppose you want to, Mrs. Melrose might want to say something about, hang on, that's all the episodes she's missed. Logopolis, Keeper of Traken, Warrior's Gate, what else has she missed?
It was the Warrior's Gate that I couldn't come on. Then
the last half of the season.
Full Circle, State of Decay.
Oh, I was there for
anything
that.
Else?
Better part of season 18, yeah.
Put it this way, it's been a fun ride. Absolutely adore Tom Baker. Adric really starts coming into his own in these later episodes, because obviously I just find him a bit annoying for the first few that he's in. It's actually when, especially in this episode that we're about to watch, that he gets in with Nyssa and Tegan, that he starts sort of being used for the smarts, even though, you know, Nyssa is also very intelligent and can do everything and, you know, basically another Romana, almost a little Romana. Adric, it's good to see him sort of develop. And then the whole story with the Watcher as well. I don't know if this was a... Because obviously I've missed the story with you guys. I don't know if this was just a new way of trying to acquaint viewers with the fact that he was going to change. Because obviously we've never had a Watcher before when he's going to regenerate.
Or since.
No, exactly. So I wondered if they'd sort of tried it with this one and everyone went, well, that was a
bit... I think we all established it was a bit silly.
Well, yes, but I just wondered, because obviously I missed the discussion about it. So, yeah.
Yeah, the discussion basically was it was a bit silly. That was about it, really.
But it's a nice ending and, you know, we are about to enter the era that I actually remember most episodes from. So this is coming to the part where I properly engaged Doctor Who rather than just being terrified as a little toddler. I actually was engaging with it now. So this is great. I'm very excited. But I will miss Tom Baker. I thought he was amazing.
He wasn't too bad, was he? Terry Miles says, good evening, 20 Megabyte podcasters. And... Joshua Dybul says, Adam's TARDIS desktop theme has changed again. Looks busy in there. Are we trying to say it's messy? It's not messy at all. It's just things are where they are.
Busy.
Yes.
No, it's just the same as it normally is, to be fair. But anyway, let's crack on with Castrovalva.
Ah, yeah. I didn't say brilliant there. Job done.
What? Oh, sorry, were you continuing? We'll finish there.
No, I finished. No, I'm just saying for now. Yeah.
So the episode begins with the recap of Tom Baker's demise and Peter Davison's arrival. And he's sort of, during the regeneration, his boots have become shoes, but these things do happen during regeneration.
Yes.
And also... something weird happened, wibbly wobbly timey wimey thing. The TARDIS is now in a field of lavender, and has got some trees that have grown up behind it, which of course weren't there. And of course, the only thing that seems to be quite similar is there's some pylons around, but there weren't pylons around before. It was just a radio telescope. Am I being picky?
No, I think you've noticed what most other people noticed as well.
Of course, Tegan's hair's grown, and so has Nyssa's in the time as well. So there's lots of wibbly-wobbly.
This regeneration obviously affected everything around it.
Obviously, yes.
There's been an awful lot of hair growth in that time.
Yes.
The Peter Davison's hair's grown, Nyssa, Tegan, and of course, hang on, who was the other hair? Oh, yeah, Adric. Lots of hair growth going on within about the 2 or 3 minutes since the doctor's regenerated. Anyway, the long and short of it, the doctor's not feeling very well, and they're trying to get him back to the TARDIS, and there's a bit of
zero
being taken prisoner and escaping, and being taken prisoner and escaping, with a little bit of help from the master. Most of them get back into the TARDIS, but something.
It's a very weird scene.
Well, when he's on his knees.
No, just the we're being picked up by the police. Oh, no, we're not. Oh, yes, we are. Oh, no, we're not. Oh, yes, we are.
Yeah.
I've got a funny feeling that one of these scenes is Terry Walsh's final scene in Doctor Who, because he is one of the guards at some point. We don't see a lot more of Terry Walsh, sorry. Anyway, so, yeah, the girls get back into the TARDIS and Adric, sort of after the master's TARDIS mysteriously and rather sinisterly sort of
hovers over the TARDIS.
Yeah, and then lands in front of Adric and he's on his knees and they whip him back into the TARDIS. And the doctor is sort of wandering around and they don't quite know what to do. So Adric says he'll go off and find the doctor. And there's lots of wool that's being sort of pulled out from a big scarf, and
oh, that's so sad, the end of the scarf.
Good and proper end. Yeah.
Don't worry, Lavazzi do make these scarves, so you can,
and you can have them. Your very own.
Yes.
I know, I was selling them.
Well, you're trying to sell them, not get much joy out
of it. I did my darndest.
So, yes, at this point, we have a lovely scene in which Peter Davison channels the doctors that have been in it so far. I don't think he leaves anybody out. Of course, he's the fifth, so we do get the first, the second, the third, and a little bit of the fourth doctor. His fourth doctor impression wasn't as good as his first, second, and third doctor impressions.
You got mostly the second.
What, do you reckon the second one was his best impression?
Well, I'm saying the ones that he recalls the most is the second. I think there's only one passing reference to the third.
Yeah, he refers a lot to characters and situations when he's number two.
I've got a funny feeling that the Davison's favourite doctor was Troughton.
But there's another reason.
Yes.
Delving into some of the side information that Patrick Troughton actually visited the set for recording this. And he even worked with Davison a little bit, trying to get him to play the recorder a little better than he did.
Wow.
But they didn't succeed. And he even stood in a couple of scenes where they were setting up. He wasn't filmed in any way, but he took Davison's place while they were doing setups, the lighting.
I wish they took some pictures of that. And Mary, like to christen you Mary Bartlett Sloan, thank you very much for that very interesting fact.
The past doctor that would get the most coverage would be the second.
Yeah.
So, well done, Mary. Shall we kick Kirby off the show? That was far more interesting a fact than Kirby's awful... Kirby's facts. no one's disagreeing. So we'll go along with that one, shall we? Alan T. Butcher said Adric's wig hadn't grown, had it? And then... goes on to say Davison has said Troughton was his favourite, so I'm right again.
Mary's right.
Yeah, he's a bit confused, the Doctor, by the way. I just want to point that. So where Nyssa and Tegan think that they can, find a way of operating the TARDIS.
This is the problem they had with Colin Baker's character, because they thought, Peter Davison's one had trouble regenerating. Let's try and look at that again. With Colin Baker's character, but it wasn't really explained clearly.
Yeah, I think Davison's doctor had a longer period of regenerational angst than the fourth doctor's did. But if you remember rightly...
until we get up to the 10th Doctor, because... Yeah.
It does go back to Spearhead in Space. In Spearhead in Space, the Third Doctor was a bit funny for the first episode. Then he became himself. So it's been long established. It would be nice of them to just sort of drop it for an incarnation. But if you look at it, although the 13th Doctor was a bit forgetful at the beginning, she sort of didn't really change much when she established who she was. She was very much the 13th Doctor straight away. She just couldn't remember much about her previous self.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to this one. So, yeah, they get a weird picture of the Doctor looking into the mirror and says something like, that's a trouble regeneration, you don't know what you're going to get, or something like that. But the angle he's looking into the mirror, he wouldn't possibly be able to see himself because he's peering straight into the camera instead. It's a trick we use in the filming trade. And photographic trade, for that matter. Anyway, so yeah, like you say, he tries a recorder and then he finds a cricket bat and says it needs a bit of linseed oil and a coat and a room with some cricket memorabilia in it. And then we see Adric wandering around the corridors looking for the Doctor, being watched by somebody. I wonder who that could be. So the Doctor alights from the room in a new costume. And the only thing he's lacking is, of course, the beige jacket. And then TARDIS starts going a bit wibbly-wobbly. there's lipstick around the place. And he starts collapsing, going funny. So they look for the Zero Room and find this pinkish-grey room that actually really does look just pink. And the Doctor's right. Let me just have a little taster of what the Fifth Doctor will be like for a few moments, which I think is really quite nice. Because I remember watching this, I was starting to get a bit fed up with this version of the Doctor until he walked into the Zero Room and became himself. Anyway, so then he does a bit of levitation, well, sideways levitation. His hair goes a bit funny during this levitational, and not only does his hair go a bit funny, he also goes all flipped because his question marks are around the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah. But, that was on purpose, though.
Was it?
Yeah, they did a CGI thing where they did that on purpose.
Oh.
To show that he was in a different state.
Oh. Okay, fair enough. So anyway, so he sort of semi-speaks to Nyssa and Tegan of saying how wonderful they are, and then he does it with his mind. So when he's the wide shot, you can see his lips are moving, and then when they sort of zoom into him, his mouth's shut, and he's sort of speaking with his mind. Meanwhile, Adric appears in some sort of cagey thing, moaning at the girls that it's a trap. Big pardon?
It's a web.
No, it just looks like a load of cagey, wiry things. Oh, it's a web, is it? It's supposed to be a web, should we say. And then he fades away, and the girls sort of go off trying to wonder why the lipstick's melting. It's getting a bit hot in the TARDIS. And they go, my slider's not moving. Sorry, bear with me just a minute. I go off by memory, but they go back to the console room, and there's talking on the console. There's a approaching hydrogen inrush event one. I wonder what that could be. And environment one. Beyond engineering tolerances. And yes, most of us were able to work out what event one was, the Big Bang, and we start.
My favorite show, yes.
Yeah. and they really do ham it up. We're heading for the biggest bang in history. Well, that's business. The Doctor tries to get himself back to the console room because he thinks something's up. But of course, then they all say the big dramatic line, goodbye my friends, goodbye.
And, yes.
End of episode one.
Let's watch.
So episode two begins with the usual 5-minute recall of the previous activities. And the Doctor sort of staggers into the console room and then staggers around and something happened. I can't remember how they get out of it, actually. Oh, that's right. The Doctor falls off and bangs his head, and a wheelchair just happens to appear. and the Master's trying to watch gleefully the demise of the TARDIS. And the Doctor sort of wheels himself into the console room and I think
he manages
he's...
to have enough. He has enough energy and nous to help them get out of it jettisoning rooms from the TARDIS.
Yeah, they got rid of some rooms, specifically the Zero Room, and of course Nyssa twiddles a knob in one of the roundels, and they escape the Big Bang, pardon?
I just said yes.
Oh yes, yes. So the Doctor now needs a little bit of a rest, and they decide, there's something about looking for somewhere nice and zero room-like, a planet that's zero room-like, Castrovalva.
Well, they go back to the zero room and can't get in because
That's obvious, yeah. But they do, obviously, they have to make a cabinet out of what's left of it, a box, and a coffin, should we speak?
We believe that, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
A coffin, yeah.
And they find out that Castrovalva is a place that's very much like the Zero Room, uncomplicated, which is quite ironic because it was actually quite complicated.
Yes, it was.
And so the Doctor leaves Nyssa, because there's a manual for flying the TARDIS, apparently. Leaves Nyssa and Tegan to fly the TARDIS. And Tegan lands the TARDIS slightly diagonally. She's very proud of her work. And they somehow uphill get the coffin, the Zero box and the wheelchair of the TARDIS, and proceed to carry and wheel the Doctor towards Castrovalva. It's funny, every time they sort of they see allegedly Castrovalva itself, they sort of stand there, Castrovalva.
Yeah.
As if it's some place of major wonder, you know. Anyway, in the process, being slightly dappy, Nyssa's changed out of her little frilly tutu into a pair of trousers, velvet trousers to be precise, very nice suit. They conspire to put the wheelchair in a little river, which blows up nearly on impact, and Nyssa tries to climb down and get it and ends up slipping into the river herself, and they try fixing the wheelchair. Pointlessly.
I don't think that it blew up. I think because it's electric that
it
shorted out. Yeah.
I don't think that would have happened, but they just for the fact that the gives the special effects bloke something to do on site, really. Anyway, so they ditch the wheelchair and carry the coffin. I mean, the box a little way. Get very, very tired. Just to remind the Doctor he's not levitating, because he said he'd make it easier for them by levitating. And then they step into the woods and see the fat Castrovalva, and of course Deacon has to announce that this very poor drawing is indeed Castrovalva. Then we see some sort of people that look a little bit like, what would you call it, savages in their sort of costume, very sort of Aztec-like, which is really weird because you don't really, once we get into the Castrovalva town, you don't actually see that again. It was a bit confusing. So anyway, they go off.
They refer to it a couple of times, don't they?
Do they?
Yes, about the fact that guy's too tall for it.
Anyway, so Nyssa and Tegan go off up the rocks to see if they can find a route in. The Doctor, meanwhile, slides open his coffin and has a little peek around. And when they go back to it, the Doctor's gone, and there's some blood on the floor.
It's blood.
Episode 3 begins with the same scene again. And I'm just moving on a bit because it's a long way in before we actually get onto some new action. Oh, yeah, they get chased by these savages. The Doctor sort of looks like he's unconscious on the ground, but all he's doing is listening. And he climbs up these rocks and still looking a bit tired. Yeah, had a bad night. And he gets surrounded by these sort of savagey type people and gets taken into a sort of place. Nyssa and Tegan, I think, watch it and come in, and then the Doctor's sort of welcomed a little bit more by some, what was that chap called, the library bloke? I can't remember his name now.
Shardavan,
that's it, yes. So he sort of given a bit of shelter by Shardavan, and this very nice chap wearing a double hat, see-through hat.
Oh yeah, they're so cool. Yeah.
Comes in and introduces himself as the Portreeve, and he's gonna
Portreeve two hats.
Yeah, there's another person in there with this silly hat as well, by the way. But And didn't you think he looked a little bit like Anthony Ainley, though, this poor tree bloke?
This poor tree looked very, very fishy, yeah.
If he's not Anthony Ainley, they should have done a little bit better with the makeup to not make it blatantly obvious it wasn't the Master. Or am I just missing something there?
You've ruined it now.
One of the chaps that was dressed up as a savage turns out to be Isle of Wight resident, until he died, obviously, Michael Sheard, a Doctor Who regular. Usually plays baddies, but not in this story. I did not notice him. Did you notice him?
No, I didn't notice him.
No, I'm trying to remember the last story he was in. I know some of the stories. He was in Pyramids of Mars. He was in... The one where what was that one? The first canine story. What was that one called? Kirby would know. Invisible Enemy, was it?
No, I
been
can
in
tell
a
you.
Few, quite a few Doctor Who stories, dating right back to the 60s. Anyway, this isn't his last appearance either. Oh yeah, so sorry, I'm just my thing's stuck. Moving on. Anything coming through on the feed?
Was in the Ark. They say he was in the Ark.
Yeah, he's been in lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Are you looking it up? What a good girl you are.
Yeah.
Right, so the Doctor's sort of given a bit of hospitality and has a little conversation with that bloke who looks exactly like the Master. Has a lie down for a bit while Nyssa and Tegan try and sneak into the Citadel sort of place.
They are trying. They really are.
And Adric sort of makes an appearance. Pardon? Hello?
Didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you did. And then, for some reason, Nyssa comes in through a window while Tegan's having a nap. And then she... she comes into... Is it the doctor's room? And then she's looking in the mirror and she can see the reflection of Adric over her shoulder.
Yeah, she can see Adric.
Uh-huh. And Adric's just saying to her, how come our hair's all grown so much since
Don't
the last
tell time? Anyone you saw me.
Yeah, of course, we see the Adric fighting against the Master. And Don't fight me, boy!
Adric tells her not to tell anyone, and yet in the next scene she's with a woman.
Yeah,
she
tells her.
Yeah. So, the Doctor makes very good friends with the poor Treve, and Nyssa and Tegan do a little bit of, what's the word for it?
Snooping.
Not just snooping, is it? It's almost
research.
Like, no, a little bit of research, and then they make it look like the library bloke. Oh, what's his Moldovan? Is it something like that? I can't remember. Anyway, make him try to look like he's a baddie, but we all saw through that, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, he's dressed in black, and he's got
and he's too tall for the stuff they used to wear in the Hunt.
Yeah, we got the bloke that looks like the Master dressed in white.
Yeah.
Strange that. So they're actually planning something, Nyssa and Tegan. The Doctor, meanwhile, goes off and has a conversation with a child who looks quite familiar. I don't know if she's became an actress.
Well, no, he's just counting. He's going 1, 2, 3. She's going, awesome.
Yeah, I know. But the actress playing that little girl, she looks quite familiar and may have been in subsequent things.
Drop another nugget. She is actually the niece of who is the actress that played Liz to the Third Doctor?
Caroline John.
Yeah, she's the niece.
I'll get a ding for that.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Well done. She's much better than Kirby, isn't she? Oh, goodness. Well, so, the Doctor...
And then take 20 minutes to say,
You could just make us feel like he's here.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Doctor starts sort of getting a bit confused and starts realising that Castrovalva seems to be in a little bit of a knot at the moment and goes all pathetic and the girls carry him back to his Zero cabinet, but there's not... there, is it? I think someone has taken it. That's right. There was just the lid left. And he gets all dramatic and says that we're caught in a space time trap sort of thing. But by the next episode, wibbly wobbly timey wimey, he says the same line, but not quite as excited. Am I being... And they did do this in this series of Doctor, actually. This is the scene. Listen to this.
Zero cabinet. It's gone.
Hopefully it won't be too long.
recursive occlusion. Someone's manipulating Castrovalva. We're caught in a space-time trap.
Right, now listen, you heard that bit, didn't you?
Yes.
Right, so we go to episode 4, and the same scene. I'll never mind the theme tune. Right. It might be just me, but I don't think he emphasises it as much in this particular version. Oh, God, they do go back quite a long way. Oh, good Lord. Let's go wait about half an hour for me to actually find the relevant scene. 2 minutes in before we actually get to watch it again. Here we go.
Where is it?
Here we go. Right, try and remember the... Here we go. This is it.
Recursive occlusion. Someone's manipulating Castrovalva. We're caught in a space-time trap.
I'm not quite sure that's quite got the same impact as the previous version.
I don't know. They sounded almost the same to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there is something coming up.
Sorry, Adam.
All right. Well, there is something coming up in The Visitation in which Tegan delivers the same line completely differently. But we'll keep an eye out for that one. Anyway, so he's being a bit pathetic, isn't he? And he for some reason, turns the mirror towards the window. And because he can't cope with the confusion of it all. And then Nyssa finds, or with the help of one of the Castrovalvans, finds the Zero cabinet, which I think they're using it as a laundry box or something like that. I can't remember. rather bizarrely. And that's right, because the doctor then uses the back of the mirror to try and draw a diagram or get a map of Castrovalva drawn up.
Show me where the map of
I didn't get that. It went right up, up. It sounded like Norman Collier.
I was just agreeing with you and about him drawing the map on the end and on the back of the mirror.
Yes, I can't remember the character name of the Michael Shared character's name, I'm afraid. But anyway, he draws the map of Castrovalva and realizes something a bit weird when his pharmacy appears 4 times on it when there's only one pharmacy. And then he gets a couple of other Castrovalvans to pick out their residences on it, and they all start to realize there's a bit weird going on.
Fishy here.
So meanwhile, another plan is afoot, and we've got to mention this tapestry, which reveals sort of things that have happened not so long ago. Yes, because it does get referenced a few times. And a few people carry the Zero cabinet into the Portreeves domain. And then the Portreeves, surprise, surprise... reveals himself as the master. But he's quite keen to get into the Zero cabinet. But unfortunately, the doctor's shenanigans are being sort of repeated on the tapestry, and the girl's a bit worried that he'll get to see what's going on. But he does, of course, get to see what's going on. And when he realizes that he's been duped, he gets a bit petulant with the Zero cabinet, which again explodes for some reason when thrown off the table. And... yes, and then
I can't figure out what made it explode, because
it's the same thing with that wheelchair.
Would do it.
Yeah. Anyway, so the doctor rips down the tapestry to reveal Adric, and the master very quickly escapes in his TARDIS. Well, not escapes; he could have escaped actually. And all Castrovalva starts getting extremely confusing, but they use one of the Castrovalvans, Michael Sheard one, to help lead them out of the Citadel place. For some reason, the Master then gets caught by them. But I thought he'd escaped in his TARDIS.
Yeah. Well, no. They said that he couldn't escape because they come upon his TARDIS again in the middle of the courtyard.
Yeah, he's stuck. The fireplace
says... he's stuck there, isn't he? Yeah, so we won't ever see him again, will we? No. Anyway, at some point during the story, the doctor had picked up a bit of celery and stuffed it in one of his inside pockets. And as they stroll back to the TARDIS, he sticks it rather inexplicably without any, as if like magic, to his lapel.
On his lapel, yeah.
Because, of course, celery is very sticky, or maybe it just sticks to Time Lord fabric or Calivarian fabric. Anyway, that's what happened. He stuck it to his lapel, and obviously... Tegan rather proudly says, I parked it here. And the Doctor disappoints her by saying, no, in fact, it was Adric with the help of the Master. And they, that was it. Basically, they climb in and warp away.
Everything was a lie. Sorry. Mm. We start properly next week.
Okay. Castrovalva. Now, it's I remember being extremely excited when it was on. And I have obviously said several times that the Fifth Doctor is my favourite. This story is not my favourite Fifth Doctor story, but it didn't detract from my excitement of having a new Doctor at the time. I mean, it was only, obviously, 4 weeks of this, and it was still, you know, I was watching it, you know, thinking something really, really good happened. I was just fascinated to see Peter Davison as the Doctor, and so I was a bit absorbed in all that stuff. Wasn't really paying much attention to how poor the story is. And this, I think, is the last story by Christoph H. Bidmead, who wrote Logopolis, and most of us liked. I know you didn't like it, Mary, but most of us liked Logopolis. But this is nowhere near as good as Logopolis, and it's really quite poor, to be fair, as a story. But I don't mind watching it from time to time for nostalgic reasons, but it wasn't the best introduction to my favourite Doctor. What did you think? Had you seen this before, Debbie?
No, I hadn't. Ooh, I don't remember seeing
it. This would be quite interesting. So what did you think of it?
I really enjoyed it. I actually got back on Thursday, and then I had Friday off, and I just had a couple of hours to myself, so I binged it. And I didn't mean to binge it, but I kept wanting to know what happened. Mm. So it just, next thing I know, I've watched all four episodes, and it's like, oh, okay, done. And so that just goes to show that I was actually quite engaged, and I was. It's a simple story, but it was really good, and I really enjoyed it. I think I was just in the right place right then to just sit down and binge.
Yeah,
and
I'm not saying it's really, really terrible. It's not very, very good. It's certainly... No,
yeah, it just... By the end of it, you're like, well, that was a story that didn't exist then. But, onwards and upwards to the next one. Let's jump into next week. Let's go. Let's get this sorted. And because you knew it was the Master. you knew which way it was going to go. But it was just... yeah, I did. As soon as I saw him, I was like...
Oh, you worked it out. Well done.
As the Master. So it is. So, yeah. But I really enjoyed the journey there. So, yeah, I really liked it. It was a really good bit of Doctor Who and much needed after my little break. And, it's good.
Excellent. Well, there you go. Had you seen it before, Mary?
Parts of it, yes. Okay. With my enjoyment of the Fifth Doctor era, I've watched most of the Fifth Doctor stories. So, but, yeah, I think I've seen the first two episodes before, but I hadn't seen the second two.
Okay. So, brace yourselves, everyone. What did you think of it, Mary?
Well, the reason I didn't watch the second two when I was, you know, dabbling in the Fifth Doctor era was because, like you said, it wasn't much of a story. And obviously, they thought so too, because they were throwing in these long stretches of just time wasting scenes, which, you know, as we all can agree on, you know, that long trek of Tegan and Nyssa dragging the Doctor, you know, up the hill to Castrovalva was interminable. I thought they would never get there. And other scenes like that that took forever. You know, the confusion in the TARDIS over, oh, what's going to happen to us? What's event one? And it just, that scene went on and on. That took so much time. And what I found out by reading what I read is that this wasn't the original story that they were going to introduce the Doctor with, but the story that they were going to use turned out to be, they said, unfilmable. So they kind of threw this one together slapdash, and they actually filmed it fourth because they had to work on it. They had to work on it, rewrite it, and film it later. So this is actually Davison's fourth outing as the Doctor.
Yes, and he has shorter hair in the next story. You'll notice this.
Okay, well, then that should be obvious. Yeah. And because it was kind of thrown together, and I think it shows. But There's a lot of it that I did enjoy.
Yeah.
I mean, men in gossamer skirts. What's to dislike about that? like the other John Nathan Turner stories, you know, once he got involved, we're getting involved again in the with the mind bending kind of things, which I really enjoy about this era. Mm-hmm. And one little bit of confusion that I had, among others, was if the master can make that one guy, Reuther, I think his name was, just like disappear, not exist anymore.
Yeah.
Why didn't he make Shardamon disappear rather than stand there helplessly watching Shardamon, you know, swing the chandelier and I mean, he could have made them all disappear, but he didn't. He just let himself get trapped for some reason. So I found that, you know, not nice. And one other little nugget is that at the end, when Adric and the others are heading for the TARDIS, I noticed it when I was watching it, that Adric was looking kind of bleary-eyed, like he hadn't gotten much sleep, or that I attribute it to him being, because he just got out of that web, that maybe, you know, he wasn't fully, you know, energized or anything. But it turns out that the whole crew had a big drinking binge the night before and stayed out late, and that he was actually very sick during those last scenes, that he was excusing himself a lot to go and throw up. So he was in very bad shape for that last scene. So it's a mixed bag. I didn't care for the story, but I liked the unusual approach and, you know, the mind-bending direction that we're headed with the Fifth Doctor.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank
Yay.
You very much, Mary.
Oh, well, that leaves Mary's us. Done trashing it. Okay, yay.
We can move on to feedback. Now, Kirby did post a request for feedback, as per usual, that nobody really takes much notice of, on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, or, of course, send emails into 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. the old-fashioned way, or you can just comment on the live feed if you happen to stumble upon it on Facebook. Mary Lang, you're so thoughtful. Is this going in reverse order or something? It's a comment on Kirby, isn't it?
Ian Kirk, Kirby was
I'm having problems with my new computer as I'm using the hard drives of my old PC. I can't use that either. Posted from my phone. And he says it's working now. It took him 6 hours.
He
forgot to put his clock backwards and sat there for 10 minutes wondering where the podcast was. Sounds like Kirby. Joshua Dybel says, oh dear, not one of my favourites, I'm afraid. And I had such high hopes. I generally love new Doctor debuts, but this was a disappointment to me. Even though I was mourning the loss of my Doctor, I tried to be positive. Castrovalva is tedious, drawn out story with people wearing ridiculous hats and packed full of techno babble. But then again, I always struggled with block transfer computation. Goodness knows what the average viewer thought of this. Matt Smith's debut, The 11th Hour, shows how well a first story can be done. We let Tennant off because he spent most of his first story asleep. But you'll be pleased to know that eventually Davison became one of my favourite Doctors, despite this duff kickoff. Lillian Robin says, not my favourite introduction episode for a Doctor, but still good. Can't watch the feed live, out with friends, Halloween stuff. Now, come on, Lillian. Priorities and all that. So that was that.
Go on to Ian, did you see that Alan Butcher has added to the comments?
No, I didn't actually. Would you like to, while I do some technical backstage stuff, would you like to just remind me of what he's saying? Or just let me know, actually, for that matter, not necessarily remind me.
I don't know who he's responding to, but Alan Butcher says there were 2 weeks of this, not 4 weeks.
Because it was on Mondays and Tuesdays or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I don't know who he's responding to on that
Me.
One. Oh, okay. And then his last comment is, I have fed back, so.
Okay, well, I'm sure somebody will be absolutely delighted to hear that fact. Something funny has gone on here. Bear with, I've got technical issues arising. I'm just about to correct.
I had a technical issue. The cat didn't know that you could just push the door open.
Yeah. Well, don't show the cat series 2, episode 4 of Stranger Things. It might get a bit traumatised. Right. So we're on feedback, weren't we? Oh, yeah, so, of course, that means we've got to do this.
Hello, Gentlemen Met Podcast. It's Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian. Oh, God.
Castrovalva by Christopher Binmain. Another story by Binmain, again named after the place they visit. Also claiming the universe is based on mathematics, not the other way around. It seems to have been reading about recursion. If they had an index file, they could look up index file. The boy genius can be used to create a small town just from the mathematics in his head. Oh dear. Well, at least he gets tortured. Tegan is a fictional character. Shadowman is a fictional character. Is one more fictional than the other? I regard Peter Davison as my doctor, even though I had watched Pertwee. There is now a blade missing from the cooling fan on my graphics card, and it makes this noise. Bye for now.
I think that might be a slight reference to my buzzing episode of a few weeks ago. Thank you, Ian. Yes, that was either that. I will explain this to anybody who listens to the show. When we recorded that particular episode, there was something wrong with the cable connection. I didn't check the audio levels, so I blame the others for not reminding me of this. And basically, at the end of the podcast, I put it into Adobe Audition, which is what I edit the show in, and basically there was a flat line for the audio of you lovely people. Well, it won't be Debbie because she didn't turn up for about 15 weeks, but yeah, there was basically a flat line of audio, but there was audio there because when I turned it up to 4 you could hear your audio. So with some very clever skullduggery on my part, and for a very skilled audio editor that I am, was able to basically turn my audio right down, your audio right up, export the file, bring it back into Audition, and turn all of our audios back up again. But unfortunately, in the process of doing that, I was left with a very, very slight hum, not a smell, I mean literally a hum, on your audio track. But the fact I was able to turn that into a podcast, I personally think that was quite remarkable. But thanks for anyway. But it did remind me, I have been listening to back episodes, and one of the episodes of 390 something or other, basically is a complete cock-up. I haven't edited out the bit where we were sort of sitting around connecting us to each other and before we actually start the show, and it's about 10 minutes of complete boredom. So I do intend at some point, when I get some time, to re-edit that and put it back out again as it should have been. But that was a bit silly of me, wasn't it? I am quite busy, though, so it was possible for me to make these cock-ups. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, we were doing feedback, weren't we? But I just thought I'd... the other thing, before we do feedback, you know, they were talking about Bidmead and his silly ideas, basically. The Watcher being one of them. And then the next episode after the silly old Watcher, he brings in the Portreeve who looks like the Watcher with a hat.
Yes.
Yeah. We've got something about people dressed in white and looking a bit flaky.
Yes.
A little bit flaky.
You're right. So you're right.
Very glad this is the last of Christopher H. Bidmead. Anyway, somebody was mentioning some feedback from Alan T. Butcher, which is quite nice for me because I can sit back and listen to it while watching the Formula One Grand Prix.
Watching the Grand Prix, no fair.
It is fair. I'm watching it. Right now, and there's a bit of battle going on between Lewis Hamilton.
Right now.
Oh, you don't want to know, do you?
No.
Oh, okay. Right then, you carry on, Debbie, because I believe I've just sent it to you. You can't deny
yes,
it because I think
I've
it's there.
I've just got it, so I'm going at this
I bet
point.
You have. I want the feedback.
Welcome back, Debbie. Leave. The last two times.
Okay, I've taken it for the team. Let's have a doctor that's equally as exciting as cricket, or in a zero environment, maybe beige can look interesting. Dear 20 megabyters, Castrovalva is, of course, a closely studied outline of the situation in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland on 27th of October 2019, and a vague and optimistic clue to the way out of that hole. The TARDIS crew take roles as the nations of the UK. The doctor is England in a bad way, trying to recover from an austere fall and struggling to regenerate. Nyssa is Wales, small and rather neglected but resourceful. Tegan is loud, grumpy but organised, so takes on the role of Scotland. Adric, taken hostage by the master and used to create difficulties, is Northern Ireland to the master's personification of the implementation of Brexit. So, I like this. So yeah. After failing in throwing the TARDIS towards a no-deal Big Bang, the master uses Adric to entrap the rest of the crew in an Escher space, in which whatever direction you set out, you are generally at risk of ending up where you started from. The master dissembles both in the creation of this illusory trap and the disguise of his own true nature. As he approaches Borisonian levels of overconfident desperation, the fake history and the fragile tapestry of the construct is understood by an ever larger group. The only way out is dependent on seeing the illusion for what it is and pursue a course back into the real world as the whole concept collapses in on itself. It should be noted that while some accuse this story of being rather pedestrian and prosaic start to the new Doctor, it was after all perfectly in keeping with the new character that would unfold for the Fifth Doctor, and to be fair, it was well founded upon a substantial metaphysical proposition. We also learn that Adric had clearly looked at information from the Doctor's past when creating Murgrave and Castrovalva, whom he made look and sound just like Ross, Roland Summers, Lawrence Scarman and Lowe that the Doctor had previously met, but the Doctor is too polite to mention this. Also, actor Neil Toyner was clearly a dead ringer for Anthony Ainley, as the transition between their separate characters when it comes is seamless. All in all, Castrovalva is a low-key start with some virtues in the way it gives space and time for the establishment, the new and very different TARDIS crew that had coalesced during the recent transition. Tegan and Nyssa both get a chance to take back control within the narrative, and whilst Adric has a more supine role, he is nevertheless at the heart of all that happens. The Fifth Doctor sets out on his long journey from a fet and ordinary impersonator of various doctors to the commanding hero he will become just 3 years later in his last story. This story is perhaps one episode too long, if only the TARDIS had landed inside Castrovalva rather than in the woods for no easily discernible reason. Next up, Doctor Who and the Obankan Circuits, or the Adric and the Frog. Those are my thoughts, Alan T.
Thank you very much, Alan. I do enjoy the photograph that Alan has posted on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group of him wearing a white bin. Right, so that's basically it for feedback. Unless someone sends some last minute stuff through after the disgraceful poor lack of feedback we've had on this show. But at least it's something. Well, I've closed the page down so I can't see it anyway. Nothing is even coming through on the feed apart from Alan T. Butcher saying 10 minutes of boredom or as it is known, podcast gold.
I don't know.
All right, so don't know what to say now. I suppose we could look at Doctor Who News.
Yeah, we haven't done that for a while. Well, I haven't.
Well, we have actually, haven't we, Mary? We've been doing all our proper chores on the show, haven't we? Doctor Who Fury from the Deep. BBC Studios have announced that the next missing Patrick Troughton story to receive the animated treatment will be Fury from the Deep. Now, I haven't actually got to Macroterra yet. That reminds me, I need to buy Macroterra. The penultimate adventure from the fifth season, which features the departure of travelling companion Victoria. The release was announced on the animations panel at this weekend's London Comic Con, which is that the MCM Comic Con, this London one? Is that
the one?
I think it is, you know. Because Alex Watts went to it, sort of friend of the convention, and said it was rubbish.
So, really?
Yeah. Oh.
I know they didn't have a lot of celebrity guests there, but I know Alex is a particular critiquer of conventions that do have celebrity guests. I don't think he thinks they need them. To be fair to Alex, he's a bit of a celebrity himself, so usually his personality is able to sort of, you know, keep the event going. But if he says it was rubbish, and judging by the celebrity guests they had there, and really for a big Comic-Con, it didn't look that good. I didn't sort of, when I looked at it, I didn't think, oh, I must go to that. The Birmingham one is quite similar. It's run by the same people. But the only thing that would attract me to that is that Sean Astin's at that one. And Isabella is absolutely gutted to miss out when Sean Astin cancelled Island Con a couple of years ago. But that's quite interesting, because if you look at the guest lineup for Wales Comic Con, it's phenomenal. And it's got a bit bizarre recently, because I've actually invited some Welsh rugby players to it. Now, I've never known Comic Cons to invite sports people, apart from ex-wrestlers who are now actors.
Yeah.
Which is really weird. But yeah, so apparently this was announced at London Comic Con. Very exciting, must buy it. Does it say when it's coming out? No. Right, we've got Doctor Who Edge of Time, a new feature-length VR video game. Doctor Who The Edge of Time will launch on the 12th of November. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? If you like video games. And then it's back to last week's talk of the Sill stories that are coming out. So not that much news. I mean, I'm a bit surprised there's not been that much news already, because we're heading quite close to the Doctor Who Christmas special. You're not really that far off. And I would have thought the BBC would have done some teasers, because I know Children in Need's coming up soon, and the record they've released for Children in Need this year is done by celebrities, one of which is Jodie Whittaker. So, be interested to see what that's like, and as to whether we may get the usual obligatory teaser for the Doctor Who Christmas special during Children in Need. But that's it for Doctor Who news. I was going to look up something, actually. So if you girls would like to have a little bit of a chin wag while I look up something, because I know that I'm pretty sure Mary, you went to Chicago TARDIS not that long ago, did you?
Well, it was last November, and the next one is coming up.
Was it last November?
Yeah, I was going to say the next one's coming up, isn't it?
Oh, that's it. The next one's coming up. Are you going to the next one? Sorry, the reason I said this, because obviously listening to the back episodes was your last sort of review of your visit last time. So are you going to this one?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes. Their guests this year are not that spectacular, except the most recent one that they announced, which is Arthur Darvill, is coming to this one.
Well done.
Yay. Oh, he's going. That's funny. He's going to Wales Comic Con, funny enough.
Wales Comic Con looks amazing. I wish I was going to that.
But what they were using as featured guests up until this point was having Tamsin Cole. He's one of the 13th Doctor companions.
Yeah.
And the cast of Class, which doesn't interest me at all.
No, it doesn't interest me either, to be fair.
Yeah, the whole cast of Class is going to be there, you can keep them. But the 8th Doctor will be there.
Yeah. You'll be putting the old Lippy on then.
Yes, you bet. I'll have to go up and say, thanks for remembering.
Thanks for, if you show him
thanks
your picture.
For the memories.
If you show him your picture like I did, he'll be there in person, won't you?
Yeah. Do you remember this?
That'll be fun.
But other than Arthur Darvill and possibly, being able to run into McGann again, this year's Chicago TARDIS hasn't struck me. Well, I mean, they've got some classic Doctor guests as well. They've got Louise Jameson coming, and they've got, why can't I think of her name? The second Doctor companion.
Which one? Polly?
Well, both of them, actually.
Annika?
Jamie, who plays, and who he was with. Not Victoria, but...
Zoe. I mean, Wendy Padbury.
So
Fraser Hines and Wendy Padbury, then.
Wendy Padbury, So I can see their pictures. I can see their faces, but I can't remember their names. But, they'll both be there.
Not Victoria.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be kind of a low-key convention this year, because I honestly think that the introduction of the 13th Doctor did not go over that well in America. I don't hear any buzz. I don't hear people talking about it. When I do ask anyone who does follow Doctor Who, well, what did you think of, Jodie Whittaker's Doctor? I get kind of a thumbs down from most people. So I think that the stories have not served her well, because I know she's a wonderful actress. We'll see. Hopefully this next season that's coming up will revive it. But, yeah, it's not.
Well, sadly, it seems that they wait to the third season when the actors have just settled into it properly, into their roles, always tend to be the best ones, and then they leave. So why can't they just stay for a fourth season? I don't understand why it's always a third season departure, apart from Eccleston, obviously. And Eccleston, of course, is going to be at Gallifrey, so we're looking forward to hearing about that. I'd love to go to Gallifrey. Anyway, yeah, thank you, Mary. Look forward to... So you are going. I beg your pardon.
I am going.
I got distracted by the Grand Prix. This is a Mexican Grand Prix, by the way, viewers, listeners, currently watching it over my...
What date is it this year, Mary?
Well, the Mexican Grand Prix, that'd be today. I just said, what?
Don't you talk about the Grand Prix. I'll watch it later.
You want to know what days the Chicago TARDIS is?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's always the same every year. It always is Thanksgiving through the weekend. Uh-huh. So... those of us who buy the reserve tickets, we go to a special reception on Thursday evening, which for Americans is Thanksgiving.
It's Thanksgiving,
And then it runs over Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Mm, wow. Sounds like fun.
So it's not Halloween then. That's good then, because it won't clash with ours. Right then, Lavazzi. I don't like giving plugs to Forbidden Planet, but we went to Southampton on was it yesterday, Saturday, wasn't it? I sort of shrouded a visit to Primark for the girls, with knowing that if I allowed them and just followed them around Primark for an hour or so, I'd be allowed or sent to Forbidden Planet. And within Forbidden Planet, unlike the previous visit, there was actually stuff to buy. I bought a 13th Doctor T-shirt, which was 2XL, and it will fit me, so I'm quite excited about this, but wasn't allowed to wear it yet because Deb thought it smelt of print, and so therefore it got washed before I actually got to wear it. But yes, I was going to wear it today, but I forgot. And also they had Lavazzi's very own 13th Doctor scarf, which of course you can buy directly from Lavazzi at lavazzi.co.uk. I also bought, as I've already shown the viewers, this rather splendid little USS Enterprise. And what I didn't show the viewers is that when you flick this little switch underneath, it lights up very beautifully. Of course, I'm not going to keep it left lit up because the batteries are dying, but I think it's very pretty. And what else did we buy? Bought a couple of Stranger Things items for Isabella. It's basically a little box of a random character. So you open the box up, you don't know what you're going to get until you open the box up.
Book.
I beg your pardon?
A blind box.
Well done, Debbie.
Well, yes, cheers.
So I bought her this box. It cost £5.99, and she opened it up when we were on the ferry, and she went, yee! Or yes, I think she says when she's excited. Because it was a little 11. It wasn't exactly an uncommon thing, because it was like a 1 in 6 chance of getting 11. But anyway, she got 11. And what else did we get? I'm sure there was something else I bought. No, it escapes me now. I was just excited about the... I can't remember what the other thing was. Oh, the Enterprise T-shirt. 11. And I think there was a Stranger Things Funko Pop or something. Anyway, but yes, so a very exciting visit to Forbidden Planet. Now, I did drag on about that a little bit too much, because I'm going to carry on talking about Lavazzi stuff, because it's coming up to Christmas and we want people to buy stuff because of us, basically. Well, I do anyway. TARDIS laptop bag, the official BBC Doctor Who unisex messenger bag, it says, which is a perfect bag.
Oh, I really want that bag, but 40 quid is just...
Yeah, 40 quid is a very reasonable price for...
I know it's reasonable, but it's not the kind of money I've got.
No need for that. Very reasonable price for somebody who wants to buy their loved one a lovely exclusive laptop bag for Christmas or birthday, even. Doesn't have to be a Christmas present, does it, Debbie?
No, just a nice present.
Pandorica opens gloves. A good time of year to buy people gloves. With the, of course, the Vincent van painting of the TARDIS on. Along with Tomb of the Cybermen scarf, the TARDIS Christmas jumper, which I've got in 2XL, for some reason doesn't fit me. Everything else I've got in 2XL does fit me quite comfortably, with lots of baggage. In fact, I bought a set of very, very too warm pyjamas from Aldi's yesterday, which are 2XL, and I'm having to wear them quite high up my midriff because they're very loose on me, and they were 2XL. But so it's very, very warm. They're going to be nice when it really does get cold. Well, very topical, in fact, the season 18th Burgundy Doctor Scarf, the shorter version. You can also get a TARDIS tie, a beanie hat, a TARDIS beanie hat, Christmas beanie hat, to be fair, a Christmas scarf, a Pandorica Opens sort of scarf that goes with the gloves, of course, painted by Vincent van... and the Doctor Who fourth Doctor tie, seventh Doctor hanky with a paisley hanky, the fourth Doctor shorter scarf, the TARDIS scarf, the seventh Doctor paisley scarf, the seventh Doctor's question mark jumper, the long fourth Doctor scarf, as in season 12, which is different to the long season 16 to 17. It's got a completely different colour, actually. I don't know which one I've got. I think I might have the... Oh, actually, I don't know which one I've got. I look quite like that darker one. I'll have to check which one I've got. Might have to invest in a new Tom Baker scarf. Again, topical, Fifth Doctor cricket jumper. I've had two of these in my time and ruined both of them. And the Dalek scarf, official BBC Doctor Who Dalek scarf. So there we go. Lots and lots of Doctor Who items available at Avazi, along with, you know, the Star Trek merchandise and just general fashion. Great website to find some lovely sort of almost sort of designer items for your geeky friends. Everybody's gone quiet. So very, really weird to be able to get sentences out. It's rather disconcerting, to be fair. Whoone.co.uk have updated their website a little bit. Latest products include Scent of Blood.
Are they still open?
Well, the shop might not be, but they are open for business online. Yeah, Scent of Blood, which is a big Finnish tale starring Paul McGann, I believe. Oh, no, it says Dan Starkey reads a brand new audio adventure of the Eighth Doctor. Oh, I got that bit wrong, didn't I? Flight of the Sun God. Again, it's an audio book read by Nicola Bryant. The 2020 Doctor Who Annual. I might have to have a peek in that.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that.
I'm not going to buy it. I might have to have a peek in it.
Oh, do you know what we've got in down the road? We've got Sonic Sporks.
Have you? So yeah. Does that mean that your gaff might sponsor us as of January, and that we might be able to actually plug some of the items you have for sale?
Might be.
Good. Target Storybook by Terence Dix. Oh, that sounds quite nostalgic. It's got some sort of... the cover's sort of done in a retro style, but it does feature modern sort of new Who Doctors on it, as well as classic Who Doctors. It says, in this exciting collection, you'll find all new stories spinning off from some of your favourite Doctor Who moments across the history of the series. Eighth Doctor Further Adventures of Lucy Miller 1. These are things I mentioned last time, but these are new items, new products coming on Who One, along with the coming soons. A great big list of coming soons now. That wasn't there last time either. Eighth Doctor Ravenous 4. Eighth Doctor Time War 3, Companion Chronicles First Doctor box set. Who plays the First Doctor in those? It's David Bradley, isn't it?
David Bradley.
Yeah. And he's going to be at Wales Comic Con, but sadly for me, on the Sunday, not on the Saturday, so I won't get to see him. And the Diary of Riversong 6. Between you, me and the listeners, I have actually bought photo ops with Catherine Tate and with... what's his name? Oh, Darth Darville. And with...
fantastic!
Alex Kingston. So be quiet. They don't know about it yet. I bought them, and then I said to Deborah, she said, oh, yeah, they've just released photo ops because they weren't going to do them. I said, don't worry, I'll just buy them. We haven't got the money. No, we haven't got the money because I've just spent it on them. So I'm trying to get around that one somewhere, because I got into exactly the same sort of trouble at Island Con 2 years ago. Harry Houdini's War. There's a Sixth Doctor story, and Hope. It's a torturous story. So there's lots of exciting new stuff coming up
Well, if I can put another plug in here, I spoke of it back when the episode that you said has the hum in it.
Yes.
So I don't know if this came through,
but I'm sure
you can get it at Who Won. And that is the audio story Transference, which stars Alex Kingston. It's 8 hours, eight episodes long. And the reason I bring it up again is because what I didn't realize at the time, but I've since found out, is that two of the installments are written by the fellow that we interviewed, Andrew Smith.
Ah.
Yeah, so there's another reason to look at that.
Sorry, I got distracted by the Grand Prix again. So interesting things are happening.
It was very interesting. Thank you, Mary.
It was very interesting. Sorry, I don't think I wasn't interested. I do like to listen back to my podcast and recap. You've been in great form, Mary. And it does make me wonder why we bothered having Kirby on for the last 9 years. Because we might as well have just stuck with you and get all these interesting facts in and actually be able to finish my sentences.
Oh, he'll be back next week. You miss him, really.
Right, the unusual thing is he'll actually be listening to this show. Hello, Kirby.
Hi, Kirby.
Yes.
Hello, Kirby. We love you.
Won't quite go that far, but yeah, hello, Kirby.
You're annoying, but you're necessary.
What, me or Kirby?
Is he sat there at the cinema with a headphone on listening to the live feed?
No, he probably would have commented by now. right then, so next week there is a bridal show which I'm not going to, so therefore I'm thinking we're very likely we'll be able to do a Doctor Who podcast reviewing, as far as my brain can remember, a Doctor Who story called Four to Doomsday.
That's right.
Yes, that is the next one.
Which is the first story that Peter Davison filmed, other than his picture, this sort of scene at the end of Logopolis, the first full story that Peter Davison filmed as the Doctor.
Cool.
And it features also a very interesting outer space scene, which is quite legendary in Doctor
Who. I've seen this quite a lot, the scene where his tether gets cut.
The cricket ball. What's the word? What do they call it? It's inertia. The cricket ball inertia scene, shall we say?
Yeah, yes.
Very funny. Anyway, so look at this. We're only in just over an hour in. We've done everything. This is ridiculous.
Look at Chris. We didn't do the quiz.
Well, yeah. I would have done the quiz, but sadly, I haven't got any questions on Castrovalva. I actually would have done it. I was going to do a girls-only quiz. But, yeah.
Do you want me to do the questions for next week?
No, because you probably won't turn up.
We don't have to do a quiz.
Of course we have to do a quiz. If we can do one, we'll do one.
Don't. From the quiz losers.
Go on then, Debbie. Unless, of course, I'll find...
You want me to, I will do the quiz for you, if you like.
Okay, Debbie.
Maybe that's the fine. Listeners could vote as to who does the quiz, you or me.
Who? No, you can do the quiz, that's fine.
Well, usually... Adam's questions bring us to a stunned silence more often than not.
Yeah. And getting dings and beeps. Yeah.
As we all sit there in the quiet wondering, where did he get that?
Yes, I might as well. One thing, where Kirby's not on the show, what we haven't heard this week is this. That's amazing.
No, that's usually what I get.
Yeah, never mind.
Mary's got quite a few dings today.
That's what she said. Right then, so next week, if everything goes to plan, it will be Four to Doomsday, and we'll have Kirby back. Might even have Robert back, you never know. But until... Oh, Robert's feedback! Oh, my goodness! You made me remember something you shouldn't have made me forget.
What, the one he did on our Facebook
message? That was feedback, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry,
that's
Robert.
That's the messenger, yeah.
Right, so who made me forget that? I reckon we're going to blame... Mary for that one, because Debbie read Alan's feedback.
I'm the one that's not been on for weeks.
No. Mary can read that one. And you're so good at that Australian accent too, aren't you? Yeah. All right. I'm going to pull this out, lean back and watch some of the Grand Prix.
All right, this is Robert's feedback. Just to give a bit of feedback on Castrovalva. It's a story I love. I remember on first watching it, though I wished the Doctor would just stop faffing about with the Zero Room / cabinet and get on with being the Doctor. On rewatching it, though, he doesn't spend as much time as I thought he had. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Okay. I love the idea of Castor Valva and its mystery. The M.C. Escher stuff I love looks better with the Blu-ray special effects, too. Adric gets strung up like a lot of fans want to do with him, and for those inclined, might relish doing that to Matthew in their fantasies. And we get Ainsley relishing the first of his disguises in what would become a callback to the 70s, oh, it's the Master again. Speaking of the Master, he does devise ridiculous schemes. Plenty of time to just point his sex or tissue compression eliminator and finish the Doctor off. But where would be the fun in that? Hope to join you next week to discuss about frogs.
Discuss about frogs?
Frogs obviously feature in this next one because it's been mentioned a few times.
Yeah, well, we'll find out then, won't we? Yeah, sorry, so just very interesting development. I was trying to use a DVD to reflect the video pictures from the Grand Prix into the camera of the computer, but it failed. So there you go. Right, I've got... I'm tempted at the moment before I go. There's four boxes of chocolate over there. 12, Picnic, Snickers and Mars.
I'm going round.
Oh, yeah?
Really? Yeah.
I'll help.
Sounds wonderful.
I bought the Snickers a few days ago, but I haven't even opened the box yet. I'll just occasionally, when I'm really, really hungry, I will have a Snickers because that will just stop me from being hungry. Whereas other chocolate, but I'm not really that much of a fan of Snickers, to be fair. But they are really, really good at stopping me from being hungry. I'm not trying to plug Snickers because I don't want Mars to be our sponsors, although it would be very nice. I'm rambling now. I'm trying to fill out. I'm doing a John Nathan Turner padding out the podcast. So, like I say, next week, Four to Doomsday, more presenters, and I'll probably be a bit grumpier than normal because I would have been back at work for 4 days. 5 days.
Oh, I went back to work today on a Sunday.
Did you? Oh, dear. I'll go back to work on Tuesday, so I'll be quite grumpy by Sunday.
Sorry, my cat is using the scratch post right behind me. If you can hear lots of noise.
There's not a demigorgon in there with you, is there? Because it won't be a cat for much longer. It'll be a dinner.
Nah, it's all right. This one's fine.
Both me and Isabella are in the situation that we've both finished Stranger Things and Deb is sort of halfway through season two.
Oh, no!
So we're not allowed to speak. We have to go into little rooms quietly to talk about theories on what happened to the end of season three.
Yes, what's happening.
Said,
And Deb, you've got some catching up to do on the British Baking Show.
Yes, I have quite a bit to catch up with on that.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you who's gone then.
Although, oddly, while I was in Malta, we were watching Australian MasterChef. Series 4, which is from 2010, but my parents were just working their way through all the different countries' MasterChefs, and that's how far they got into it. So it was a bit weird.
Well, I'm going to have to go back and rewatch Stranger Things because I couldn't really get, I did persevere with it after the first three episodes, and then I got into it. I think episode 3 had me. Episode 1 or 2, So I like, it's one of those rare things that I can just, because I've watched it, I can sit in and just watch the episode and really enjoy it. It doesn't matter which episode it is. So I'm thinking of going back and re-watching it almost. But I do want to watch Timeless. That's a Netflix series that we watched for quite a while, then stopped for about 9 months. Then Deb doesn't want to resume watching it. But I watched the episode that was next queued up and I couldn't remember what happened in the previous episode, because the recap really wasn't anything I sort of picked up on, so I'm a bit sort of left in limbo with it to a certain extent. So I'm tempted to just go back and watch Stranger Things again, or I've got to continue watching Voyager. I've been doing that for 3 years because they keep on flashing Star Trek The Next Generation back at me, with Picard coming up soon, which I'm really, really excited about. know when that comes on, because the trailers have been absolutely amazing. And people say, oh, it's going to be on Amazon Prime. Don't care, I've got Amazon Prime. I don't care if I have to buy the series. I'm blimmin' watching Picard. I'm really looking forward to it.
Have you seen the picture Alan T. Butcher has sent to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast?
Is that the one with the bin on his head?
Yeah, he looks
I just mentioned that about 5 minutes ago. Right, where's the point deducted?
Oh, I get a ding, thanks.
No, you don't get a ding, because I mentioned it 5 minutes ago. You weren't listening. You get one of these. So, yes, Stranger Things. Wow,
sorry, what a series. Jim, he did mention it.
I didn't have to get one of those.
Yeah, so, love Stranger Things. It's really a wonderful series, wonderful story, wonderful actors. Oh, what a show. So I just thought I'd give it a plug. Love it. Even think about doing a podcast about it, because me and Izzy have a program we both love.
Can I come on every now and then?
No. A bit difficult planning a show when you can't to shoehorn Isabella out of her bedroom. Yeah, I actually did shoehorn her out of the room later this morning to watch another wonderful film called Yesterday. A story in which,
Is that the one where they
the beat he hits his head and the beat there's a power cut which mean basically completely the power cut around the world, and during the power cut he crashes his bike and bangs his head, so you think that, you know, he's in a world where the Beatles have never existed. It's absolutely wonderful. She said she got a bit bored at some point. I was completely riveted by the whole thing. It was a delightful, charming little love story. Wonderful. And it's one of those things that I see the trailer at the cinema, and I really wanted to see it in the cinema, and they didn't let me go. And it eventually has come available in Sky's store, so I buy it. And you think, you know, it's that film, sometimes that scenario when you've been waiting and to watch a film for quite a while and you get let down by it. Not on this instance. It was just as good as I hoped it would be. Fantastic. I was a little bit let down by the Stan and Ollie film. It's still a good film. It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. That Stan and Ollie. What was that one called? Might have been called Stan and Ollie, funny enough. Anyway, but no, yeah, Yesterday, what a brilliant film, and it's such a lovely homage to the Beatles, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone, because there's some real treats in it, so I would recommend that. But if you don't like the Beatles, don't watch it, because it's basically a tribute to them, but it's absolutely fantastic if you do like them. Okay, just saying, you should watch that. And then after that, we played on the Nintendo Wii for 2 hours, so it was nice to get her out of her room for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I still managed to pad this podcast out for longer than I expected to. Right then, so at the moment, I'm going to go up and have a bath, and then I'm going to watch a crime series called Snapped, which is on Sky Crime. And there's about 21 laps of the Grand Prix left, and somebody is in the lead at the moment. And there's somebody in second place.
No, I'm going to go and tuck Isla.
And there's somebody in third place.
Keep talking about the Grand Prix.
There's somebody in fourth place, and somebody in fifth place is currently in the pits. Somebody in sixth place, and then there's some people driving.
So we're recording next week, then. Adam.
There's some people drive some cars around the rail. Yes, I just set right another point deducted, because I did say that about 5 minutes.
Should we be saying goodbye to this podcast?
Right. There we go. Right, so until next week.
He's padded it out rather magnificently.
Yes, well, we're talking about geeky stuff. It's already relevant. Yes.
It's a Doctor Who episode.
No, but I wanted to talk about Stranger Things, because I think it's fab. And I would like it if Doctor Who could actually get a Stranger Things actor into it. So that would really get Isabella engaged in Doctor Who. So maybe Millie Bobby Brown should play the next Doctor, if they want a woman to play it. That'd be good, wouldn't it? All right, I'll shut up. Anyway, so thanks for listening, watching, and taking part in the show. And for those that did provide feedback, well done. Goodbye.
Yes, bye-bye.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.